Sorry. Today's topic is a follow-up topic on the topic that we've been discussing of Koveya Itim LaTorah, having set times to learn each and every day, one in the morning, one at night. And we mentioned in passing, as we were discussing Koveya Itim LaTorah, that for somebody who really doesn't have proper time to learn, he can do something called a shutfus Yisachar Zvulun. Shutfus means a partnership. Yisachar and Zvulun. Yisachar and Zvulun were two of the tribes of the 12, two of the Shvatim. So in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, we're talking about Kovei Itim LaTorah. There's a mention as follows: Umishi Yasor Lo Lioma. Somebody who doesn't have time to learn. Either he doesn't know how to learn, or because he is so involved in various business activities or other things that are burdening his time, taking his time, Yaspik la'acherim ha'lomdim, he should supply the needs of those who are learning. And then the Rama adds on as follows: Rama, v'techashev lo ki'ilu lomed be'atzmo. It will count as if he is learning himself. This is very interesting. This is not our classic type of giving tzedakah charity to somebody. A yeshiva comes and asks, or somebody who's learning and needs support, that is not what we seem to be talking about. Because the Rama is adding on here that if you do this type of shutfus, which we're going to talk about today, this partnership, somebody who is earning, the zvulu, partners with somebody who is learning, the yisachar, it is as if the earner who is supporting the learner is actually doing the learning himself. So that is not midin tzedakah, that is midin something else. And that's our topic today. This is something that indeed should be kept in mind when you get out there, those of you who go and earn. If there is some excess capacity in what you're earning, or create some excess capacity and enter into what we're going to discuss today, a partnership of Yisachar Zvulun, this is highly advisable. So we're going to start like this in the brachas and parshas v'yachi that Yaakov Avinu gives to his sons. When he gets to Zvulun, who can remind me, what's the bracha that he says to Zvulun? Zvulun, you are going to...
Ships.
You're going to live on the... You're going to live on the sea. On the seashore. You're going to be... Work in the ports. Why? What was Zvulun's occupation? Shipper, international trade, something like that. He was in business. So the pasuk says, Zvulun lechof yami mishkan. Rashi on that, when Zvulun is going to live at the harbor, Rashi comments, Zvulun osek bepachmatia. Zvulun was involved in business. Nowadays, it doesn't have to be business. It can be having any trade or occupation. It doesn't matter, whatever it is. Umamtzi mazon leshevet yisachar behem oskim b'torah. And Zvulun, who was working and earning, would support the tribe of Yisachar, who was doing what?
Learning
full-time in the base medrash. V'hu sh'amar Moshe, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah comments, smach zvulun betzeisacha. Zvulun, you will be happy when you go out. What does that mean, you will be happy when you go out? Because zvulun, when you work, every dollar that you earn, you know that that is going to support somebody who is learning. You should be happy with your going to work and earning a living, because that is going not only for supporting your family, which is a very important thing, but also supporting somebody who is in learning. The Yalkut Shimoni says something unbelievable. I love his language. He says, "Bizeh im ze shutfus be'olam hazeh u'be'olam haba." Yisachar and Zvulun have a shutfus, a partnership, in this world and in the world to come. Very powerful. What's the partnership in this world? I think we would say that the partnership in this world is that the earner, Yisachar, is supporting, the earner, Zvulun, is supporting the learner, Yisachar. I'll make that mistake probably 35 times as we go through that, but Zvulun is the earner, Yisachar is the learner. So in this world, they have a partnership that the earner is supporting the learner. And in the world to come, who's supporting whom? Yisachar is supporting, the learner is supporting Zvulun, because that is Zvulun's ticket to say, when he gets up to Olam Haba and he's asked, how was your learning? He's going to be able to respond, my learning was fantastic. My learning was great. I partnered with a great Yisachar who learned tremendously, and that is my ticket to Olam Haba. There's a medrash points out something beautiful. He says, who was older, Yisachar or Zvulun? Yisachar was older. But if we look at the brachas that Yaakov Avinu gives out, who does he give the bracha to first?
Zvulun.
So the Medrash says, why is it going out of order here? Zvulun, the younger one, the one who's earning, is getting the bracha before his older brother, Yisachar, who is the learner. So the Medrash says, V'lamachen, Elashaya Zvulun Osek Pragmatia, says that Zvulun was in business, he was earning. And Yisachar was the one who was learning. Uzvulun ba umachilo leficha kadma, because Zvulun was supporting Yisachar, he is put first. Because why? If it were not for Zvulun supporting Yisachar, Yisachar would not have been able to learn Torah full time. And it brings the pasuk, Eitz Chaim hi lamacha zikim ba. Eitz Chaim hi, this is our tree of life, that's learning. Lamacha zikim ba. What's macha zikim ba? Those who support it. It's not saying those who learn it, it is lauding those, also those who learn. But that pasuk is lauding those who support it. So we see here that without the support of the Zvulun, Yisachar would not be able to learn as he should. So that's why he went as far as Yaakov Avinu giving the bracha to Zvulun before Yisachar, despite the their ages were the opposite order. Okay, I want to talk about building on this concept a little bit more, but I want to focus initially on the Zvulun, and then after that I want to focus on the Yisachar. First we're going to focus on the earner, and then we're going to focus on from the perspective of the learner. Okay, so the Chavetz Chaim has a Sefer Shem Olam. Chavetz Chaim wrote more than the Mishnah Berurah. He wrote a number of Sarim. I have a set at home. It's called Kol Kisvei Chavetz Chaim. It's four thick volumes of the writings of the Chavetz Chaim, and that doesn't include the Mishnah Berurah. So he wrote extensively. So in one of his Sarim, Shem Olam, he talks about the Shutfos Yisachar Zvulun. And he says as follows, Yishar B'Anashim, there are many people that are involved in their business dealings. They're at their jobs, and they aren't able to peel back their hours. Who here has ever been at a job and wanted to say, I want to work less? Right? Did it work okay? No. What do? They act like Paro, and they say, you know, you want to go worship your God, so you know what? You're going to make the same number of bricks, but I'm not going to even give you the tevin, right? So that's like you go to your boss, and you tell him, I want to work a few hours. He says, I'm adding Sundays also. So the Chafetz Chaim says there are many of people that they're very involved in the business activities, they have serious jobs, and they're not able to cut back on their hours. That's a problem because they're not involved in learning Torah very much. What is their solution? So he goes back and he talks about first the Shvatim, the tribes of Yisachar Zvulun, and then he applies it to individuals. So we're continuing to talk about the concept of the Shvatim, and he says what they agreed to do is they found a solution in the Torah. And their solution was one would support the other. And if one would support the other, even though the supporter, the earner, his Torah is greatly suffering from his earning, nonetheless, because the one who's being supported, the Yisachar, is learning, he does not lose out on his learning. He gets the schar for that learning. And he continues and says as follows, V'niskayma ha-Torah b'shneyam, the Torah is niskayim, is established by both of them. They both get that schar, the credit. They say, why is Yisachar? It's Yud. How do we spell Yisachar? Yun? Sin. Chafresh. Why two sins? And we generally say Yisachar. So it's Yisachar, right? Yisachar, two sins. Why? Because when you partner with a Zvulun, the schar, the credit for that learning is doubled. It creates double. It creates a portion for Zvulun, and it creates a portion for Yisachar. So that's why it's a double schar built into there. So he says that was their solution. They each benefited from the partnership together. And he says, nowadays, the same thing applies. V'chein gamata. Aisha shehu bal asakim. Somebody who's in business working, and he's not able to focus on the Torah, he too can enter into a partnership to find somebody who is learning. Quick question.
You said that the schar doubles when you have a partner supporting you. I previously thought that you're just giving up some of your schar because you need the support. It's just the chance you have to pay.
It's a great question. I'm going to wait till we talk about the Yisachar side, and then we'll get into that.
Okay.
Very good question. Thank you. Okay, so when it comes still on the Zvulun side, the Chafetz Chaim says that nowadays, just like the Shvatim, the tribes of Yisachar Zvulun, did this deal together, so too individuals can do this deal together. And he says that it comes in two formats. Format number one is what we've been talking about. It says as follows, that partnering with an individual. This is the Lashon of the Chofetz Chaim. Liknos lo mamish ish muflag b'Torah. What is liknos? He doesn't mean to buy somebody, but he says liknos, to partner. He means to partner with somebody who is muflag b'Torah. What's your criteria, according to this, for finding the proper Yisachar? A tremendous Talmud Chacham. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a different view on that. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, don't find partnering with Rav Eliashiv, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, that's your target. He says, find someone who has the greatest potential. Somebody who is younger, who has great potential, and you're enabling that person to become a great learner, a great Gadol Ador, a great Rebbe, whatever it may be. You don't have to find the next Rav Eliashiv, but somebody who has tremendous potential. That's the view of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Here the Chafetz Chaim says to find somebody who's a great Talmud Chacham, and how much do you have to pay him? What's the partnership?
Not same as you.
Half-half. So Akiva is saying half-half. In other words, Akiva, if Zvulun is like... give me an example of like somebody incredibly wealthy. Okay, whoever it may be. I didn't want to use that word, but okay. It's like his name is Daniel Trump. Okay, so here's apparently a lot of money, although it hasn't been disclosed in a tax return yet. But in any case, maybe he earns a lot but doesn't pay taxes. So somebody earns a lot of money. Akiva is saying that it has to be 50-50. If he earns $100,000 a year or $100 million a year, the partnership would be 50-50. In other words, $50 million a year to the...
I mean, that's a fair partnership.
So that's a clear partnership. So we're going to get back to this great point in a little bit. We will get back to this, and you're smiling, Akiva, but you have somebody very strong in your corner agreeing with you. Okay, so what is that?
Tzedakah, it's
the question is, can you use your tzedakah for it? We'll get back to that when we discuss. And if I don't address it, please ask me again. Okay, so the Chofetz Chaim continues. You should partner with somebody who's a muflag b'Torah. The latet will kol tzorchei chiyuso b'shleimus. You have to supply all of his needs. In other words, whatever he needs to live, rent, food, education of the kids, car, whatever it may be, that would be the norm in that area. It doesn't have to be the highest of norms. It shouldn't be the lowest. It should be what would be considered reasonable in that area. Obviously, Mala Daphna would be different from Beverly Hills or something. You know, there are going to be different standards in society. What is that?
There'll be no learners in Beverly Hills.
Okay, so on that point, you'll find a better target in Malos Daphna, probably. Leman Yeh Levavot, what's the concept here? Leman Levavot, Ponui, Rak, Lasuk, B'Torah, Vavoda, Shashem Yisparach. The concept here is if you supply his needs, so he's able to focus on his learning and not worry about paying last month's rent, right? So the concept here is, give him the breathing room, give him the ability to focus on his learning so he does not have financial stress in his life. Financial stress is fairly negative. It is a fairly negative thing when somebody is trying to focus on his studies, especially if the learner has a family that he also is looking up to him to support them. If he does a proper partnership and has enough coming in to cover all the costs, that would enable him to free up his mind and focus on his learning. So he continues as follows, the ikar bazesh yiten kol tzorcho. That's the Chofetz Chaim view. The ikar is he has to give everything necessary. Now, I once wrote a chapter in the book on this very topic, Shutfus Yisachar Zvulun, and I got an email from somebody as follows on that chapter. I am a friend of your father's from Shul. He gave me a copy of your book. He actually said wonderful book. your wonderful book, your book. And I would like to sponsor, I talked about in the beginning of the chapter, somebody who was looking for a shutfus. There was somebody who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham in Bnei Brak, and he was looking for a partner and couldn't find, because unfortunately, there are more learners out there who would partner than earners. And I think the reason for that is that the earners don't realize the importance of making this partnership. They don't know about it. They don't know about it. If they did know about it, they would be jumping on this opportunity. So he says as follows. I had written about that Talmud Chacham at the beginning of the chapter, and I said he wasn't able to find, if anyone understood the value of investing in a partnership like this, they would jump on the opportunity. He says, please let me know how to invest in him. Great. Fantastic. So I responded to him with some details on this individual. I said, thanks for your email. I'm delighted to receive it. Doing a Yisachar Zvulun partnership is the best investment you could ever make, period. That is an investment that you can take with you to the world to come. So when I told him it would be $1,500 per month, $18,000 to support somebody who with a family, it's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money, meaning it depends on somebody's capacity, but what you're getting is tremendous. But you need the money. You need the money coming in order to afford it. So he said, I can't afford that. I have four kids in school, in out-of-state colleges. Can I partner with other people together and get like a group, a syndicate together of people, like a consortium of investors together to support him? So that's a good question. His email to me was, wow, that is more than I expected. I was looking to give a partial support. Do you have other people that are interested? So the Chofetz Chaim says, indeed, you can partner up with other people and give partial support, meaning somebody can only afford $100 a month, and another person can do $500 a month, another person can do $50, and they get together a group. It's an unbelievable opportunity. Get together your investor group. Find the best learner possible and invest together, and your star will be allocated based on the amount that you invest. Just like Lahavdil, a corporation, you make a small investment or a large investment, your return is based on how much you invest. Okay, so the Chofetz Chaim says that this is one option. Option number one is partnering an individual with an individual, with an individual learner, and you get your schar that way. Tremendous thing. He says another possibility is to partner up with like a kollel or a beis medrash or something like that, and to give the money to the beis medrash as a partnership. And also, it can't be a small amount. We're not talking $18. He says how much you would have to pay to support a Yisachar learning, give that to a beis medrash. So this is kind of like allocating your risk. You're not putting it all in one basket with one learner. You're getting a bunch of learners and you're giving it, like, I'll support it for a month or something with 12 guys. You know, that would be the amount that you give to an individual for a year. And he says, that also works. Indeed, the Stechemetz beis medrash did this. I have the text of what they agreed to, that they took money from somebody and it was like a shutfus Yisachar Zvulun, but not with an individual Yisachar, it was like with beis medrash as a whole, and he got the sum of the schar of the beis medrash. Now the Chofetz Chaim continues that if somebody does this shutfus Yisachar Zvulun, u'bevadai lo yechsa lo chelek toraso, the person who is working is not lacking in his learning, because he is getting the schar of the person who is doing the learning. And he brings another drasha. When we mention that pasuk smach zvulun beit seisecha, that zvulun is going to be happy going out to work because he knows there's a tremendous benefit in his working because he's supporting someone. The Chofetz Chaim says something beautiful. He says, I'll give you another explanation of that pasuk. He says, smach zvulun beit seisecha, zvulun, you will be happy when you go out. He says, when you go out of this world, when you pass away, you will be happy because you know that when you go up to Shemayim, you will have Torah in your pocket because of the learning that you supported. Very powerful. Smach Zvulun Beit Seisecha, he said, you can be confident in the learning that was done by Yisachar, that will be your ticket in Olam Haba. He says, V'yasik Sham Yediyah Satoro, you will, even though you didn't spend all your time learning, but Yisachar did, you supported him, that is a tremendous maila. Okay, when it comes to still talking about the Yisachar, talking about the Zvulun, excuse me, mistake number two. So when it comes to the Zvulun, the Moshe Feinstein says that the Zvulun has to esteem Torah, meaning when he's getting into this partnership, he sees the importance of Torah, the importance of supporting somebody in Torah. It's not that simply he's writing a check to a relative, writing a check to a friend just because he needs some support. That's tzedakah. That is not a shutfus Yisachar Zvulun. Shutfus Yisachar Zvulun is when the earner comes in and says, I want to partner with somebody who's learning. I see the hashivus in learning. I want to partner together with you, and I want to be a partner in your learning via my supporting you. So he says, you can do it with a relative. You can do it with your neighbor, but it has to be not because I need to support this guy, but because of wanting to partner up and to make a shutfus Yisachar Zvulun. Now, a few important points on this also. The Iyun Yaakov says that this does not get somebody out of fulfilling his obligations of Koveya Itim Latorah. We still have to have a kfius. We still have to be learning, right? We're earning most of the time, but something, some learning has to happen on a daily basis. The Sefer Tikkun Chatzor says the same thing. It gets us out of Amelus Batorah. What is Amelus Batorah? Toiling in Torah because I'm supporting Yisachar is toiling. I'm toiling at my job, right? That's what I'm supposed to be doing then, because every dollar I earn, Koreitzi Akiva, 50% of it, pre-tax or post-tax, post-tax. So maybe only 10 cents on the dollar is going to that 50-50 post-tax. Maybe things will be changing now. I don't know. But he says it gets us out of Amelus Batorah, because Yisachar is toiling in Torah, but we still have to be Koveitim the Torah. The Chavetz Chaim says, I still have to learn Halacha. Still have to know what to do as a Jew. So that's also required. And the Rav Moshe Feinstein goes even another step, and he says that in addition, if I have free time, quote-unquote, I should still be learning during that free time. Yeah, question?
Yeah, if he did partner up with that, where the person wants to learn and he has potential, he doesn't have to give a maaser on top of that, right?
We'll talk about it. Good question. Excellent question. Yes?
So if he does partner up with someone but doesn't cover it in the Torah, then does he not get the scar?
You still get the schar. It would put it in two buttons. He gets the schar for supporting someone, and he gets schar for that. But when he's asked, did you koveya itim the Torah, he's not going to have an answer to that.
Can a learner default on the agreement somehow? Like if you see him playing around and wasting time, can you somehow get out of that agreement?
Excellent question. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Or the learner or the owner, right. Or the earner. It goes both ways. So I'm going to talk about the mechanics, the legalities now, and then as a byproduct of that, we'll talk about that also. So when it comes to entering into this partnership, as we've mentioned, this is not midin tzedakah. This is a formal partnership. This is two people coming together and agreeing we are entering as partners in this deal. So the Rabbeinu Yerucham, a very prominent Rishon, says as follows, Ha'osek b'Torah, kodem shiyasok, somebody who's a learner, before he does the learning, kodem shiyasok yachol lahatnos, he can make a deal with somebody, shiyasok chaveru b'schor, that his friend, his buddy, somebody is going to be, a zvulun is going to be earning and supporting him, v'yito chelek milimudo, and he's going to take a chelek, a part in the learner's learning, right? That's, you can enter into a deal like Yisachar and Zvulun. And then he goes on to say, but after the learning was done, if somebody wanted to go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky today and say, I'm going to write you a check for $300 million to get a schar of half of your learning that you've done over your lifetime, that does not work. That doesn't work. The concept here, why? Concept here is?
Retroactive
doesn't work. Going for what? Why doesn't retroactive work? Why only going for? Because what?
It already happened.
And
it
going to fix
it? Didn't take away the stress that he, from the learning that he had before.
It didn't enable him in the past to do that learning. That's something in the past. But enabling, the concept here is signing up as a partner to enable somebody to learn. That wasn't enabling somebody. That's trying to. And he says, he goes further and says that in fact we see that if a learner, a Yisachar, is willing to sell some of his learning in the past, he doesn't really think very highly of his learning, and he says he even loses the schar for that learning. If you're willing to sell off something like that, you're going to lose the schar for that. So the Minchas Yitzchak explains, as we just mentioned, the concept here. Why can't you do something retro only on a going forward basis? The concept here is that the earner is supposed to be the enabler. The supporter enables somebody to learn. But if it's not the enabler, then that's not the concept here. So that's how the Rama Paskins and Yoredea, Simon Reish Mem Vav, Yachal Adam Lasnosim Chaveir, Shu Yasuk Patorah, you could partner with somebody, Hu Yamti La Parnasav Yachal Mitzchor, and you would divide it up, and indeed it has to be on a going forward basis. Now, we see from this is a formal partnership, so we'll get now into the question before. Does it have to be in writing? Do you need witnesses, et cetera, et cetera? So this is an enforceable contract, certainly in the world to come, but even in this world, if one side is not doing what he should, the other party can go to Beis Din, can go to a Jewish court and enforce it. Meaning, I don't know if the Zvulun is going to take the Yisachar saying that you're not learning. I think he should just say, I'm getting out of this deal because you're not learning as you should. But conversely, if the Yisachar is learning and Zvulun stops paying, and they had a deal, they had a term, it was going to go for a certain time, and he stops paying, Yisachar can take the Zvulun to Beis Din and enforce the contract. Now, it does not have to be in writing, but because of the technicalities of, in case you have to enforce it, it's always good in all dealings, all business dealings, to have everything in writing so it's clear for all parties involved. So it should be in writing. That would be advisable, but it's not necessary. But this is a real contract between the parties. Now, there was somebody in my neighborhood that we started talking about a shoes plus Yisachar Zvulun. He told me that he's been supporting someone in yeshiva, and that's a shoes plus Yisachar Zvulun. I asked him, so did you have a conversation with him that we are acting as partners and you're learning, or is it just you've been supporting him? And he says, no, we never had the conversation. I said, but you should have the conversation, because Rabbeinu Yerucham says it has to be that you agree this is a partnership. It's not tzedakah and support, it's a partnership. So he asked the Rav, and the Rav said, given their situation, that was sufficient for them to have a partnership. I don't know how that works out with the Lashon of Rabbeinu Yerucham. It's brought lahalacha that the partners have to agree a conversation it should have. You can't just assume we're partners in my learning. Tzedakah is a mitzvah, a tremendous mitzvah also. Supporting somebody learning is a tremendous mitzvah, but it's not the same. Meaning it's not worse or better. I actually once asked that Shaila to Rav Zvulun Schwartzman, is it better to give tzedakah or better to do a shutfus? And that relates to, can you use tzedakah money for that? So we'll get into that in a little bit. He said they're different buckets. They're both critical. They're both important. We can't say one is more important than the other. Question?
Do they typically have like time frames that they go for?
Okay, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Also, yeah, very good question. Okay, so let's keep on going. We're actually going to talk about that right now. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, let me get through it. And then Rav Moshe Feinstein says, so the time frame. Typically when you have a contract of employment, contract for anything, you have a term on it. Not every contract, but oftentimes you have a term on it. So what would be the term, the amount of time that should be committed to by both parties, by the learner and the earner? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that the concept here, what should dictate the timing on how long it should be? What's the purpose of the Shutfus Yisachar Zvulun? What's our purpose here?
To partner, not have any thinking about the future.
Shouldn't have any financial stress,
yeah,
is number
growth.
One.
Promote growth,
number two. Excellent. So we have two variables that we need to grapple with. Number one, we want the learner to be able to focus on his earning. He needs a time horizon that is sufficient that he's not worried about finances. What would you guys say that would be?
A year?
A year? Is he going to be worried at the beginning? I guess when you get towards like 6 months or 8 months, whatever it may be, it's going to be subjective. Some people are going to have more immune, it'll work out. 5 years.
Just so a little bit of a lease. So like if you can't do something, you can't just filing bankruptcy, all done. Like 2 months notice, half a year's notice, year notice, something like that.
So that would make sense. If it's a year, but if you're not going to renew, then he's got to know, or else the learning at the end of the year is going to be fairly poor because he's going to be out looking for another supporter. Yeah?
No matter how long the term is, he's still going to be worried as it gets closer to the end of it.
Right,
so maybe
right.
It should just be a lifetime contract and come out as a surprise if he gets the partner.
On the other hand, even with a year, he'd be able to plan. Meaning maybe it's not going to be stressful because, you know, 6 months in, okay, I'm going to look for somebody else and he knows the time. So it depends. If he doesn't find somebody and it's getting to the end, then it's going to be fairly stressful.
We mentioned before that there's more Sahars looking than Zvulun's, so I would say as the longer the contract, the easier for his learning will be. It will be less stressful.
So the longer, for sure, the longer the better. Let me
the
ask
better,
you.
Yeah.
We said there are two variables here. Not having the stress, and variable number two is, what was your language? To give him time to really accomplish something, grow. To give him real time to grow in his learning. So we've been talking about variable number one, decreasing the stress. Is it a year? Is it 5 years? Is it 3 years? How about to really grow in Torah? How long does that take? I'm asking a loaded question, guys. What do we think? Yeah.
10 years.
10 years. I guess it depends how much growth we're talking about, right? Right? Yeah, Simon?
As I said, I'm not sure if I agree. Definitely a longer the period, definitely the financial stress is relieved, but then that could create laxity in his learning, because he'd be like, okay, I've got this for 10 years.
I'm set.
But if he knows that every year is going to be like an appraisal type of assessment, then he knows that every year he better be on his top form because, you know, he may not get that contract renewed.
It's a good point. That's typically the case that you have your annual reviews when you're in a job. So that would be also a positive thing, I would think. But I think we're really going to look for the type of Yisachar that's not going to need that threat, meaning he's going to be motivated by the learning, not the... Or otherwise, he's not the right Yisachar for you, right? He's not the right... Yeah, Max.
For the partnership, in terms of, like, assuming, do they ever start by, like, setting out goals for the Yisachar?
Very good question. We'll get to it in a little bit. Great question.
Maybe in that case, you should wait until he gets married to all these kids.
And then partner?
No. From the beginning, would be when he gets married.
Yeah.
And the contract will say till the last kid gets married off.
To get rid of the stress on the stress.
Yeah, because you're going to marry his kids off.
Right.
And
right.
That's completely.
And you're going to pay for all the weddings.
Yeah.
Okay. So, on our point, my loaded question. I want to get back to my loaded question. How long should somebody stay learning in order to accomplish something? Would we say 1 year?
No.
Okay, that's a loaded question, guys. Okay, how long are we going to be staying in yeshiva? 5 years.
Forever.
5 years. Okay, so forever. So Rav Moshe Feinstein answers as well. Yeah.
My only question was going to be on, so are you doing it on a time horizon, or is it checkpoint based on track, whereby you're testing the amount of knowledge he's amassed every set of time?
That's an interesting question. It's typically done on time horizon. I guess that addresses more the financial pressure issue than the accomplishment issue. But it's interesting. We will see in a little bit. I'll talk about one shutfus that was done that did have goals built in also, somewhat goals. Okay, so let's go forward. Rav Moshe Feinstein says as follows. We need to address both of these variables. There is nothing in the Gemara that addresses the length of the term that should be in a shutfus Yisachar Zvulun. But we do have something somewhat similar. I'm just going to mention it. We're not going to get into the details. If it's relevant for you guys when you get married, discuss it with a marriage counselor. So he says as follows, that in order to go away to yeshiva when somebody is married, how long can somebody go away and not have permission from his wife? He says, the Gemara says, Gemara Ksuvah, 2 to 3 years, you can go away. That's why I said, speak with a marriage counselor if this is relevant. Rav Moshe says we would use a parallel that with the Shutfus Yisachar Zvulun, it should indeed be 3 years. 3 years should be the minimum in the partnership. However, says Rav Moshe, if it's difficult to find an earner, if it's difficult to find a zvulun that is willing to make that longer term commitment, then in that case you can go down a minimum of 1 year. Anything less than 1 year, we would not be addressing the financial stress and will not be addressing the ability to grow significantly in learning.
What's the parallel between leaving your wife and...
Thank you, Victor. So the concept there is that you can actually accomplish something during those 3 years away from your life. You're going to learn. You're not going to earn. So what's the amount of time you can go to yeshiva in order to accomplish something? He says 3 years. 2 to 3 years. So he chooses 3 years would be the ideal. But if necessary, you can go down to 1 year for the shutfus. Now, interestingly, and unfortunately, there are zvuluns that don't want to make long-term commitments. I once had emails going back and forth, and I guess it's understandable because they're making a large financial commitment. But also, the converse to that is you're locking in somebody who is your partner to be learning, a Yisachar, who you're choosing somebody to be a great Talmud Chacham. You also want to lock him in for a longer term also. Yisachar's one longer term, so they know they can count on it and they can focus on their learning. So that's where Rav Moshe comes, a minimum of really 3 years, but if it's not feasible, down to 1 year would also be acceptable. Not less than 1 year, says Rav Moshe. Now, I want to get to the Yisachar's perspective. I mentioned, and I was called on this correctly, Yisachar means double the schar. There is a discussion in the Mefarshim, in the Poskim, whether when they partner together, does the earner take away from the schar of the learner, or does the pie simply get bigger? You know, there was eight slices in that pie. Do each of them get cut in half? Or so you're taking the schar, or is the pie that much bigger? That's the Yisachar. That's what I was saying. So this is actually a debate in the Mefarshim. And that is what's on the mind of some Yisachars, is should I indeed partner with somebody because I am giving away part of my schar? It's being taken away from me, and I don't want to do that. I'd rather sit and have financial stress and have to work an hour or two a day and skimp on by, and instead of buying Coca-Cola, buy RC Cola. Or, you know, most of them aren't buying any cola. It's just tap water. So I'd rather do that, says the Yisachar, rather than partnering. So there was a contemporary Posek, Rav Pinchas Vichy. He lives in Yerushalayim. And he was asked this question. He has a tshuva called Teres Paz. His response is set. It's called Teres Paz. And there was, in that question, there was a sincere zvulun, a sincere earner that was paying month after month, year after year. He was working hard. He's supporting a Yisachar. Now the Yisachar is having second thoughts. Do I want to continue with this? Or do I want to stop? Is it better if I stop and really we'll cut our budgets, we'll live at a very low standard of living, but at least I'll be able to keep the entire schar. I'll have some stress, fine, but so be it. So Rav Zvichi says, is it preferable to learn bedolchak in bare subsistence, but to learn 100% or have a partnership? So he says, absolutely, it is better to have the partnership rather than learning under stress without the partnership. And he says the whole concept of getting schar from God for learning under in abject poverty is when you have no other alternative, then you have tremendous mesiras nefesh. You learn despite the fact that you have basically nothing coming in. You are living at a subsistence level. However, he says, if you have the opportunity to partner someone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more concerned in the quality of your learning than who gets a bigger piece of the pie. Truth be told, many sincere Yisachars out there, they just care about the learning. I'm not worried about dividing up schar. That's God's cheshbon. God will decide what he wants to do. If I can have a partnership with somebody, and this is what the Rosh Yeshiva tell them, if I can have a partnership, somebody take off the stress and really focus on my learning, that is the most important thing. So he brings a tshuva from Rav Zonnenfeld, who said there's an apparent stira. In Pirkei Avos, in the sixth parak, we say it's kachi darka shel Torah. Who knows this Mishnah? Pas b'melach tochal, right? This is the way of Torah. We should eat bread and water. Maybe a little bit salt, right? That's the way of Torah. We live on subsistence. On the other hand, there's a Gemara in Erevin that says that a Talmud Chacham should not live in a place that they don't have fresh produce. Fresh produce, right? Okay, we won't make comments about food. But What that shows that you have to worry about the standard of living and your health and what you're eating, etc. So how does that work out with the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says you should live on subsistence level? So he says that the similar concept here is you have to be able to live on a subsistence level, but that's not the ideal. The ideal is you have to live in a place that it's going to supply your needs, that you can have fresh produce, you can have doctors to take care of you. You should be able to live on a higher standard so you can really focus on your learning. That's indeed, Rav Zvichi comes out, there's a story that's told about the flood that hit a certain city. And it's a tremendous flood and the water is rising and rising. So there's somebody there and he's in his house and somebody comes by and says, you got to get out. You got to leave because it's going to continue for 40 days and 40 nights, whatever it may be. So it's rising. He says, you know, I have emuna in Hashem. I have faith God is going to save me. So he's got to go up to the second story of his house now because the water table is rising and rising and rising. A boat comes by and says, you know, you got to go. Jump in the boat. And the guy says, I have emuna. God's going to save me. Now he's on his roof. Water kept rising. He's on his roof. A helicopter comes by and says, You got to go. I'm here. Puts down the ladder. Come on up. He says, I have Muna. God's going to save me. The guy drowns. Goes up to heaven. And God says to him, what happened? He says, well, I had such faith in you. So God turns to him. He says, what do you mean you had such faith? I sent you the first person. I sent you the boat. I sent you the helicopter and you didn't take it. So that is a similar concept here that if you have that alternative of supporting, of being supported, having that deal together, that is something that should be jumped on. And the Rav Zvichi adds on, he says, that's how God set up the world, that there's some people who are learning and they're needy, and some people who have assets. That's why God gave us assets, is to be able to support those who are learning. God set it up in that way, so the people who have the extra capacity should be able to support those who are learning. It's interesting, I was trying to set up another Shutfus Yisachar Zvulin, somebody in our neighborhood with a tremendous Talmud Chacham, has a lot of kids and he needs the assets. So the doctor who was considering the Shutfus, the partnership, as the funder, says, since he is already full-time in Torah, how would my giving him money help the world? And my response was, the quality of his learning currently is suffering due to severe financial stress. With the funds from the Shutfus, he will be able to focus on his learning and get back to where it should be. So that is indeed the concept. Okay, when it comes to the financials, he is selling an asset right now, a property, and he will be doing it. As soon as the fund's clear, he is entering into it at $18,000 a year.
Oh,
Okay. So when it comes to the financial arrangement between the partners, between the two, to the earner and the learner, we mentioned the Chofetz Chaim's view before, and now we're going to also talk about Rabbi Akiva's view here. So the Chofetz Chaim said that the earner has to support the learner as to all of the needs of the learner. So that's the regular cost of living, etc. But also if there's a bris to pay for, a chasana to pay for, everything has to be covered for that. Yeah. A health issue or something like that. I think the Chofetz Chaim would say that it has to be covered. It has to be covered because the concept is covering all of his needs. We're not talking about the highest level of needs, but we're talking about a reasonable level based on that geography. So that's view number one, is committing to, they'll obviously have an agreement of a set amount, the normal needs, and things come up, chasanas, whatever, that would also be. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein has the view like Akiva. Akiva's like Rav Moshe Feinstein, that it is 50-50. 50-50 means 50-50, 50% of the earnings, not of the assets that he has from the past, but 50% of the earnings in this year has to go, and 50% of the learning goes to the supporter. That's a 50-50 contract. I am not familiar with anyone in this world who has ever done a deal based on those terms. Now, a corollary of that, of Moshe Feinstein, he's saying this is strictly a partnership, 50-50, one would not be permitted to use maser funds, tzedakah funds from that. Maser 10% or chomesh 20%. We have a whole class on the computations and how that works. We'll do that probably towards the end of the year. But Rav Moshe Feinstein would say you can't use those funds for the shutfus, because the shutfus is more like business. It's a partnership. It's not tzedakah. We aren't supporting someone with tzedakah. We did a deal with them. There are other poskim that fall into the first view that say you can use your maser funds, meaning I can always decide what's my use of charity funds. It's going to be my 10% here, 20% here. I can enter in a partnership. It's a partnership, but I can still allocate my charity funds to be paying for that partnership. Okay, so that's view number two. View number one is you pay all the needs. View number two is 50-50. View number three, it's what's negotiated by the partners. If the learner says, I need $1,500 a month, if I need $1,800 a month, and the person who's supporting says agrees, and if they agreed it's 50-50, you can allocate also 40, 60, 30, 70. Whatever the parties come to agreement, that would indeed be what would be binding upon them. Yeah?
According to the Moshe Feinstein, if I get $100,000, I give 50 over here and then pay out 10 or pay out only 5?
No, Rav Moshe Feinstein is if I post-tax have 100, the earner keeps 50, the learner keeps 50.
And then Meiser?
So is it pre-Meiser or post-Meiser? So I think, I don't know is the answer, and I'll tell you why. When it comes to, and I'm just going to do this quickly because we're almost out of time, when Rav Moshe Feinstein says, when computing your taxes, Rav Moshe was asked that question, is it pre-Meiser or post-Meiser also? So the post-game, for the most part, are in agreement that it's post-tax. Post-tax, you compute your tax, and you pay your MICE or your 10% off of your post-tax earnings. But then Rav Moshe was asked, but how about, for example, in the United States, where you have a tax benefit from the charity, right? You have a tax benefit, so who gets the benefit of that? Do I have to re-up on that because I got a benefit to pay my taxes or not? So Rav Moshe says that the spender, the taxpayer in that case, can take the benefit. You don't have to increase your charity because you got a benefit off that. So in that case, we see that you can get the benefit. But in this case, I don't really know, because the concept here is 50-50. It could be that you have to split the benefit 50-50, right? Because it's a true partnership, 50-50, 50% of my earnings. It's post-tax, and it could be that they would split the benefit there. Yeah?
So that actually works both ways. I had that question before I wrote it down, but that question works both ways, because if the Issachar is in a partnership with the Zvulun and he receives like a big outside fringe or bonus brachos or like something very spiritual, so if the Issachar, the learner,
yeah,
or any kind of spiritual benefit, because he was talking about the Zvulun benefit, right? So if he receives money benefit. But if the learner receives a big spiritual benefit, he gets a big bracha from stuff. So do those apply also to the Zvulun? Like, does he get part of those, like,
it's a good question,
benefits?
Because here we're talking about he's buying into the
learning. And how would that work?
Learning. He's buying into the learning. So if it's a benefit on the learning,
on the
apparently,
spiritual side.
But if it's like he went to get a bracha for his kid, that he should be a Talmud Chacham, I don't think that's...
But not for his kid, but to him specifically.
But to him, if it's give me a bracha for my learning, then absolutely. Yeah, if it relates to the learning, that's the shutvus. It's in the partnership. That's the deal. But you know, if the zvulun got a big bracha or something, that wouldn't be. His deal is he's just supporting, right? So whatever supporting financial benefits he's received would apparently go into the deal with Rav Moshe.
50-50, you're not saying amounts. You're saying 50-50.
We're
so
talking in Rav Moshe Feinstein.
Yeah, you're talking in more abstract terms.
Yeah, no, but the 50-50 is the 50% of what I earn,
right,
and the 50% of what you learn.
So if it's post muster and right? So then if you get outside benefits, if you're doing from the bottom up or you're calculating your taxes from the top down, however you do it, if you get those extra benefits later, a $4,000 check that you saved on donations, then you should also split that.
You should. Yeah, I agree
right.
with that. Yeah, I
same
agree.
Same reason why you do the other way around.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, yeah, I agree. Akiva.
A man or a wife, when a man learns all day, his wife gets his time, his learning,
yes,
because she gives him time.
Yes.
Now, when you are a zvulun, your wife also is getting the benefit from that partnership?
Kipshuto, yes. But let me go through a shtar, and this I want to end off. Let me recap, and then we're going to end off with one shtar that was entered into. This is the actual text. So we've been talking about the concept of shutvus yisachar zvulun, and people are zoche to have excess capacity or create excess capacity. This is highly, highly recommended. If you don't have enough to support a zvulun, a yisachar alone, a certain a yisachar alone, if you don't have the ability, then get a group together and invest. This is an amazing investment. Rather than buying tickets to the Dodgers or whatever it is, this is indeed the greatest investment possible that one can make. Now, on that note, there was a shutfus that was entered into with a young lad named Yisachar Yaakov Fisher. Diane Fisher became one of the greatest gedolim of this generation, of the prior generation, sorry. And this is the star that they entered into, and I think this will shed some interesting light. Harav Gershom Levine, that's the name of the funder, made a commitment, Bli Neder, to give funding, Besach Shlosha Lirat Lachodesh. It was three lira. Shlosha liras lachodesh, three lira. This is not talking about in the shekels in our generations. Israel historically went through various changes. That's why it's called the shekel chadash. It's not even a shekel nowadays. And before that, there was the lira. So this was three lira a month. If you compute it, I did compute it, it comes out to about 220-something dollars a month was the shutfus. That's when he would, before Diane Fisher was Diane Fisher, before he was married. And he says that he's going to learn. The concept is he can learn b'sheket without any stress. Both and she has shutaf b'limud Torah, so I'm going to be a shutaf with me and my wife together. Esther, my wife and I are partnering with him. Esther Gittel, machatzit zchus b'limud Torah, so half of the schar of his learning, we're going to get it. And he goes on to say, whatever he learns, whether he learns in the Beis Medrash, whatever he learns at home, way early in the morning, late at night, it doesn't matter. And with everything that he writes, everything that all of his writings, that is part of his learning. And it says here, so we talked a bit about goals. You can put goals in. Here it says that he's required to learn at least a half hour a day Shulchan Aruch or Chaim. If they can, you certainly can put in various commitments. You have to finish Shas. You have to, somebody that was looking for Shutfus, he wanted somebody to finish Shas on his behalf in a year, right? That also, those type of things work. Now here, the term on it, Zman HaChozehu Ad Zman Chasuna. So it's until his Chasuna. And in addition, here the term was until his Chasuna. And in addition, 5 years after he gets married. I don't know exactly how young he was when it was entered into, but it was a few years probably before his marriage, to the marriage, an additional 5 years afterwards. So this would be, enable him to focus on his learning. Obviously, Diane Fisher focused on his learning because he became Diane Fisher. Okay, quick question, and then we're going to...
You said in that contrast that the Zulun is getting also scar from all the Yisgar's writing. Now, Rashi is still getting scar every time we learn something from him. If he had a Zulun, is he also continuing to get scar even...
I would think yes, but no, in the sense that not the same schar. Meaning the concept here is I'm buying into your learning, and part of your learning is your writings. Now, just like there's a Gemara that says that whenever somebody's quoted, a Torah sage is quoted, or anyone's quoted, his learning is quoted, his lips are murmuring the learning. So there's definitely somebody who leaves learning in this world has a benefit. So if he enabled the writer to have that benefit, he would benefit, but I don't think it's part of the shutfus, I think it's a different bucket.
He doesn't get his name associated with that, like royalties on it? Like, so what if Rashi did have like a someone that was supporting him? So why are we talking about, why aren't we giving him any credit?
He would have credit, but not, they do. You know, that somebody told me a story, an unbelievable story. I don't remember the details. It's, of course, Rav Zulman Schwartzman told me it, and I wanted to refresh. And he said that this concept is, when you go up to Shemayim, the Zvulun is there in Shemayim just like the Yisachar. Right? Just like you two were partners, you're standing at the Bima just like the earner and the learner together are partners in the Olam Haba. It's not like the earner is getting a cheaper seat. Right? If he partnered it, that's the car that you get with your partner together. So it's not that it gets relegated, but again, it's important that we enter into the shutfus, support the needs, give the Yisachar the ability to really focus, and do it because we're machshiv Torah. Guys, have a great week.
Yeah.